The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer hanging out with us. Jason Anderson, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. Mick Schaefer presented by Empower Payments. Talked with Jarrett Sutton before the show. We were coming into the studio, and the Border Patrol was leaving the studio. That's typically how it works every day. And Jarrett was in the 9 o'clock hour with him, and so we were talking about last night watching the Pelicans and Lakers. And he works with the Pelicans, and I'm like, man. You know, that was an awesome game to watch, even though it sort of felt like at one point the Lakers were going to run away with that game as they were up 18 in the second half. And he was like, man, it was so good for people to see Zion that he's been different, you know, the second half of the season. Like, he's been this guy, and he drops 40. But he leaves with a left hamstring, and now he has been ruled out for Friday. So no Zion against the Kings. And that sucks because the Pelicans, at one point in the last month of basketball, they were like the 4 seed. And now, without Zion, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, especially in a position where they had to just win one of two, had to beat the Lakers or the winner of the Warriors and Kings. But the way the Kings look like right now, and without Zion, that's going to be some heavy lifting. And even if they win, then what do they look like when they actually get into the tournament as the 8 seed? So that sucks. With Zion being out. But it was fun watching him play and be the guy that people thought he could be when he was the number one pick.
It is interesting. You look at the West, which the Western Conference, again, historically over the past how many years has been deeper than the Eastern. It is unfortunate they are in the West. They went 49-33, and that was good enough for the 8 seed. I guess in the East was 46-36 with the 10 seed, which now with play-in games, 36-46. You didn't have that easy rollover game that you would in the Western Conference. Again, Golden State was a 10 seed, going 46-36 as well. If you watched the game at all last night, it was a little interesting. You saw Zion's dominance, and you also saw LeBron James at one point trying to take a charge. It was one of the few times I have seen him actually get hit and not try and flop. Because he literally got ran over by a freight train.
He had to actually stay in there.
he tried taking a charge.
He didn't take the charge, but he got trucked.
And you watch, you're like, oh, that's not a flop. That's not him throwing himself back. He got trucked.
But it also showed, like, the power, because there's only one guy on the Lakers that could guard Zion, and that was LeBron. But even he had trouble guarding Zion with Zion's power and his touch. And it was like, well, you know, height can sometimes give Zion trouble. Not last night. I mean, it was whether it was Anthony Davis or, you know, LeBron, whoever, he was still finishing at the rim. So it was fun to see him play. And injuries have been an issue, you know, in his career. And that's ultimately, you know, what's happening now after dropping a 40 burger in a play-in game. Which, by the way, we'll never know if he dropped 40 points or not, because play-in game stats don't matter. They don't count.
They don't count.
Anything. They don't count for regular season or postseason. They are just gone in the ether. So Zion Williamson's 40-point game does not actually exist in the NBA record book.
And also, Mike Greenberg, he's a super genius. He said that they should have just lost the game last night because it doesn't matter, and because the Lakers shouldn't want to play the Nuggets, because that's how pro athletes are wired.
Well, people are also talking about, do the Lakers throw this game so that they can get Oklahoma City instead of the Nuggets? They got swept by the Nuggets last year. Right. Do you want to get Oklahoma City instead of the Nuggets? Yeah, you always want to lose the first one. That's a guaranteed win.
And give yourself a chance to end your season, right? There's that
Why
part, too.
Why, you know, if you lose game six, you might win game seven. Yeah. So, I mean, do you really want to try to win game six with this pitcher and maybe lose game? Now you can save him for game seven and be ready to go in game seven. That strategy seems odd. I don't know. You know, let's be honest. Lakers aren't beating the Nuggets or the Thunder, so it doesn't matter.
How wild do you think it was for Zion to have LeBron guarding him? LeBron's 16 years older than Zion. Zion's 23. LeBron is 39.
LeBron was driving a Hummer when Zion was born.
By the way, can we...
Driving one.
Yes.
Can we talk about LeBron being 39? Like, he does not look 39. I mean, a long conversation.
One shy of 40.
Yeah,
it's one more.
I'm not a Kobe guy.
Right. It's two away from 41.
I'm a Kobe guy, not a LeBron guy. But let's be real now.
You're a Kobe over LeBron guy?
Just in general, like I'm not a huge fan of LeBron. No, like my era, I like Kobe.
I only know one guy around here that is.
That's a LeBron guy?
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I did see LeBron has totally dominated Jordan in play-in game wins. He's three. He's got three, and Jordan had zero.
Also, how many in-season tournaments did Jordan win?
Zero.
You're damn right. You know how many LeBron...
How many bubble tournaments did Jordan win?
You know how many in-season tournaments LeBron has won? Every of them. Literally every in-season tournament LeBron has won. I'm looking up and down the Wikipedia. I don't see one for the big bad Jordan. He'd be afraid to play an in-season tournament. Oh, it'd be too tough for him. Sterling, you were saying?
I just think it's damn impressive what LeBron's doing. That's all I was getting at was whatever your thoughts are on LeBron, the fact he's doing this at 39, carrying his team again last night wasn't necessarily his best game offensively, but he found a way to get it done.
Well, you had Anthony Davis that couldn't make a two-foot a shot.
I mean,
oh, here's a tip-in for a guy that's 7 foot and nobody on him. Oh, he missed it.
LeBron, in his age 39 seasons, averaging 25.7 points, 7.3 rebounds, 8.3 assists, which is fifth best in the NBA, and 54% from the field, which is 20th best in the NBA, and again, 13th overall in the league in scoring. I mean, it's just, I don't think enough has been said about what he has done at his age. Again, yeah, the Lakers aren't great, but they would be an absolute train wreck if he was not there.
Yeah, I liked the LeBron, the alternate line of eight or more assists last night. I liked it. I played it. And I appreciate him getting nine.
He got nine, right? He almost got another triple-double.
Seven in like the first half, and then he's and then like, hey, go ahead and pick up one more there, buddy. Yeah. At any point, you can pick up another assist there, guy. Literally at any point, pick up. Okay, he got to eight. I don't care if he got to nine or ten or whatever. He got to eight. That's all that really matters. We talked a good portion of the NFL draft and different things throughout the show. One of the aspects that, you know, Mick, that I do wonder. You know, we look at the Chiefs and we talk about how good of a team at drafting they seem to be. And it helps when you got a lot of draft picks, like in 2022. They also, you know, were able to hit on a number of them. And McDuffie and Karlaftis and Brian Cook looks like a good player. And Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson and Isaiah Pacheco, etc. But they also had Sky Moore and Darian Kennard in that class. You know, that Nazi Johnson hasn't done anything. And I know injury and injuries and stuff like that. But when you've got a plethora of picks, you can have a Sky Moore and a Darian Kennard that don't turn out to be that. And when it comes to the draft, I look at the Chiefs for a couple of different things. One, we've talked about coaching and developing and drafting for traits and then mm-hmm. developing them. I also look at, like, when you're in the war room and drafting, and I've never been in one, but gosh, I'd love to be in one of those.
I think I'm probably closer to an actual war room than one from the NFL, probably.
Yeah, they're never being invited.
They're so on lockdown.
Absolutely.
The Army might have me. The Chiefs, the NFL won't.
That's exactly right. But I always wonder, like, for teams that don't have the success for the Chiefs, like the Chiefs have had, because you might have four different people pulling in different directions. Yeah. In a pick, you've got the GM that wants long term stability. So you want to be successful. You don't have to win Super Bowls. Just don't suck to continue to have your general manager job. You've got a coach that needs to win now, because the GM can hire a couple of coaches, but that couple of coaches means one coach is fired.
Yeah.
So the coach wants to win now. GM wants long term stability. Coach wants to win now. The positional coach wants to move up and get a coordinator job or a head coach. So I need somebody at my position. No, this is the guy we need to take. Why? Well, he plays cornerback, and he's the best guard on the board. Let's get this guy in, so you know I can maybe get an offensive coordinator job. So you've got that personal sort of pull to it, and then you've got the scouts in the room that have scouted this particular player, mm-hmm. and I'm showing you my worth. Like, this guy, I'm telling you, and pounding the table, this is the guy we want. And I wonder, like, teams that are falling apart or they're towards the end, or it's like, well, this GM's on the hot seat, this coach is on the hot seat. When you get into drafting like that, where are the priorities at, as opposed to, and maybe it's because it's close to us, but you got Brett Veach, who has great job security. Andy Reid has great job security. Andy Heck is an offensive line coach that's just simply going to be an offensive line coach. Joe Cullen's a dynamite defensive line coach, and he was at least talked about with Michigan's defensive coordinator job. Spagnuolo ain't going anywhere for another D.C. job, and maybe he gets a head coach. But if Spagnuolo sucked the next 2 years, he probably would still be viewed as somebody that could be a head coach. Dave Merritt's already on record as saying he'd like to be a defensive coordinator. He's not pursuing it while his kids are in high school. He interviewed with the 49ers, my theory being he's starting the process of understanding the interviews and what you need to bring to the table so that when his kids are out of high school, he can then go and get that DC job. You know, you've got guys along the way that are Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator. Like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I've been a head coach before. Like, it doesn't feel like you've got a lot of guys that are pulling in different directions for their own personal benefit in a war room, that you might have a better chance of everybody being more of cohesive agreement in strategy rather than an underlying sort of I'm arguing and lobbying for this guy. It may not be the best for the team, yeah, but we're getting fired at the end of this year anyway, and I need it to be the best for me.
You have so much margin for error if you're the Chiefs as well. You have a great team. You don't always have to draft starters, guys that have to come in, contribute right away. But they have. They have had those guys because you also have, what, the first pick in the first-round pick in the 2017 draft, to where, like, man, you can afford to make mistakes. And I would say, I'm going to look at the draft picks here in Veach's drafts, what, from 2018 was mm-hmm. his first one, right,
yep,
on. I would say he's batted about 500 or pretty close.
The early
and that's
ones were rough.
Really, 18 was rough.
Yep.
But 21, 22 were really, really good, mm-hmm, above 500. If you do that, no matter what team you are, you're gonna excel and you're gonna succeed, and that's what we've seen.
Yeah, 18. You know, he trades up for Breland Speaks. That's, you know, not
ideal.
It's not the first line on his resume. It's traded up for Breland Speaks. Ugh. Went on to win 5 Super Bowls. Why'd you lead with that? I feel like you're burying the lead. Why? Because Breland Speaks drafted McCole. Traded up for Breland Speaks, traded up for McCole Hardman, didn't draft DK Metcalf.
I don't remember one guy in that draft, and I barely remember another.
In the 18 draft?
Yeah.
Do
you remember him?
was Nadi in that draft?
Nadi was the third round pick.
So they traded
the best pick of that draft.
They traded up for Nadi, too.
Right, yeah. A good, very good backup who's been a.
Rashad Benton.
Was not on that. He was the next year.
Traymon.
Smith.
That's the guy I didn't remember.
Was there was Tremont Smith the wide receiver?
Wide receiver.
Okay, because he moved to cornerback.
So I nailed Tremont Smith. There we go.
There was one guy they were switching positions from college to.
Oh, yeah, the defensive lineman, offensive lineman. That was
Raiders
related
GM,
to the
Raiders
GM. I know those details, just not his name.
Khalil McKenzie, and then Armani Watts, right?
Armani Watts.
And then Dorian O'Daniel was a backup on that first Super Bowl team.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was wrong about Dorian O'Daniel when he first got some playing time. I'm like, this guy's got some juice to him. He's flying all over the field. Like, okay, he can move around a little bit. Turns out that was the career highlight. That was the plateau of his career, was early on. Like, I didn't expect him to look like that.
Willie Gay Jr.
Oh, that's the best he's ever looked.
Willie Gay Jr. is what people thought Dorian O'Daniel was going to be.
Well, because you'd see that, and then Ben Neiman would come trotting out of the sideline.
The linebackers at the time, how bad they were, and you're like, oh, wait, this guy's got some speed to him. He's got some movement. Yeah. I mean, that's really all he had.
On run
you know?
Points, yeah.
Yeah. And he was a good special teamer, you know, Dorian O'Daniel. He you know, served a purpose by being a good special teamer for 4 years as a fourth-round pick. But, you know, they can't all be winners. you know, they're not all going to be superstars. But that sort of goes to the point of the collecting more picks.
I take it back. 20 was a great pick. He had 3 great drafts in a row. I mean, when you look at the depth there, you take Mike Dana in the fifth round,
yeah.
You have L'Jarius Sneed in the fourth,
mm-hmm,
and then Willie Gay in the second, and then you've still got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's on the team, and Lucas Niang, and Bo Pete Keys, the other two in that draft.
The 20 draft because of Clyde. I mean, it's viewed as a terrible draft.
Well, it's very myopic and short-sighted if you're viewing it just by
because Clyde. Once they're drafted. But you can also say, well, if you took L'Jarius Sneed there and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the fourth round, would make sense. You'd be like, you know what? Hey, you know, he got a running back in the fourth round. But the issue is, well, if you took L'Jarius Sneed there in the first round, you could have taken somebody else in the fourth round or whatever. Or if you'd have taken somebody better in the first round, you still would have had L'Jarius Sneed in the fourth round.
One of my favorite things, and again, I was always team don't draft a running back in the first round. But one of my favorite things is we always go, well, but look, they could have had T. Higgins. what about any of the other dudes who have been two scoops of ass in the NFL?
Michael Pittman.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Jonathan Taylor.
People cherry pick these.
No,
had this conversation before.
Antoine Winfield.
I don't disagree, but
Diggs.
What about all the other dudes who have done nothing?
Jalen Johnson.
Some reason those names never get thrown around.
I'm just naming all the guys that went in the second round after Clyde Edwards-Helaire that were all two or three scoops of ass.
Two or three. Three is when you really get. Okay. You're like
Breland speaks
a lot.
Yeah, Breland. That's a lot. That's the MJ Melendez.
That's MJ Melendez type ass. It's a callback from earlier today for some reason.
You weren't here. You weren't.
Not sure why we are calling back to that, but we are, you know. That's perfectly fine.
It's a good argument for trading back with that 30-second pick with all the names you.
And I wonder if they wanted to, like with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like they were they trying to trade back? But it takes.
Will Penix have to be there at 32 for us to have anyone that actually calls?
Right,
us?
But Will Levis was there last year.
Right.
Now maybe somebody wanted to trade up, and Clark Hunt was like, "I know we told the media that if you want to trade back, you can trade back. I will fire your ass if you trade back out of the first round here. Okay, we've got Lombardi trophies up here. We've got the 32nd pick. The draft is here. I'll be damned if we don't walk out there and draft somebody, Brett.
By the way, there's a really good player from here we could draft.
Yeah, we can draft him. How great would that story? We've won championships, okay? We've got two Super Bowls with this run. We've done it, Brett. Let's have a cool story, okay? No, go ahead. Trade back, Brett. I dare you. Look at me. See if I'm joking. See if I'm joking around, okay? Hey, Bargonzi, you ready to step up, buddy? Yeah, Brett, no, I got, you see this on the other line? It's Bargonzi's calling me. Why do you think he's calling me? Hmm? Yeah. FAU, good pick. I, you know what? That's a really good pick, Brett. You actually have my blessing to take Felix and Udike Uzama. Let's go ahead and do that. You know, they might have wanted to trade back this last year, but a team either would not trade with them or Clark Hunt would not allow the trade to go through.
That was a long conversation you came up in your head with just now.
Well, that's
very in depth.
It's well documented and reported. There was a fly on the wall, and that fly, you know, ended up turning into a human. It was odd.
It's Jeff Goldblum.
It was Jeff Goldblum.
That was the fly.
Why is it FAU?
Life and the Chiefs find a way.
They always find a way. And Brett Veach, it's inevitable. As the quarterback, Sterling's leaving. By the way, he's trying to sneak out. What are you doing, Sterling? Where are you going, man?
Well, it's possible on radio to sneak out unless you mention it.
Yeah,
well,
we're live streaming too,
Jason.
We're live streaming too, so.
Sneaking out was not.
He was
it's
busted.
Like when you're in high school and you think that your parents don't know. You're like, that was very loud. You were very loud, son.
You were opening up the window.
Yeah.
He was caught when his head got into shot two.
I couldn't hear that.
Yeah, because Dylan was on just the was it called the one shot? Is it called when there's one specific person?
Sure, one shot, single shot.
So
yeah.
single shot. So it was on the single shot camera and was allowing Sterling to sneak out until he stood up right in front of the camera and was walking back and forth and cutting off the camera.
I was trying to be quiet because you can hear radio, and now this is bad radio.
Yeah.
I'm getting stuff ready for Friday's show.
Yep, that's right. He's going to be in. I'm going to be out on Friday. What are you? Who are you talking
to? 2 days.
It does.
Well, surprise! Julian Edelman is who I'm interviewing, and sorry, Mickey, he wasn't going to acquiesce for my schedule.
Yeah, and apparently he didn't want to be on this show right now.
No,
couldn't do 120 live on 810.
Wow, that hurts. We got Julian Edelman and then Jared Goff later for Friday's show, so it should be
fun.
How
about that? Yeah.
Just ask him all, like, Belichick stories and impressions and stuff. That's all I see on TikTok.
Why didn't anybody want to hire Belichick?
Or Julian, Randy Moss.
Yeah. Julian, did you hate Belichick? Julian, did you read that Belichick wasn't even in the top three of Atlanta's coaching search? Also, he wasn't in the top three of anybody's coaching search. What do you think about that? I told him when he asked Jared Goff, he should, because Goff was at the Masters and he was one of the guys that was interviewed and was like, let's go to the Masters and talk some golf with Jared Goff. Interesting. And he said, he had a great line about Dan Campbell and said he would be terrible at golf. The game's too slow for him. He can't do it. So I told Sterling, and he's taping the interview for podcasts for, you know, some other things as well. But I told him, you got to ask Jared Goff, not how many golf balls, but how many clubs would Dan Campbell be down at the end of a round?
Sure, yeah.
How many clubs would he lose?
Like he would toss him or break him
or
whatever.
Break something, yeah. Dan Campbell. How many clubs would he be down? It's like, oh, I'm going to lose about seven or eight balls at this round. Dan Campbell, I'm going to go in with like 12, and I'm going to come out with four clubs. My driver's going to be toast. There's no way. The putter is absolutely gone. That thing is going to be either chucked or snapped, one of the two. How many clubs does he finish with? He's one. It was a 10 cup when he kept breaking all of them, Kevin Cut, and he had to finish with one. One particular club. Six or seven. And I never miss this. Finished the round with that. That's Dan Campbell. I wonder how many clubs would be broken with Dan Campbell, because he would bite off kneecaps.
He would bite off the shafts and the grips, everything.
That's right. We'll take a time out. Come back more so next. All right, we'll continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer hanging out with us. He's presented by Empower Payments, boosting your business and charity with every transaction. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. There is news out of the NBA, besides the fact that we mentioned that Zion Williamson is going to be out for Friday's play-in game against the Kings. But breaking news in the NBA about an hour and a half ago or so. The NBA has given Jontae Porter a lifetime ban for violating the league's gambling rules. The NBA says he, quote, disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. So Jontae Porter, his NBA career is now over.
Unbelievable.
At his own hands.
Wow. It was.
Does he think about the short-sightedness of his earning potential in the NBA, even on two-way contracts or, you know, getting games from here and there just sporadically, as opposed to however many thousands of dollars he made on playing only 4 minutes and saying, I re-aggravated that eye injury, so my three-point attempts or whatever is going to be under tonight.
That's the sacred cow, especially in baseball. But in all sports, man, you can get in trouble with a DUI. Right, you can get domestic assault. You're going to get a lot of times a second chance. Mm-hmm. Right, you can do a lot of bad things. Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that. I am kind of shocked, and I don't. I guess we haven't really seen this much at all from the NBA that quickly nipped in the bud, and he's done it. Probably, I mean, a guy playing 5 minutes a game, that probably has something to do with it. If it was more of a star, that might have been handled differently.
Why are all these people throwing this money at the Jontae Porter under?
That's
whatever it is.
Cardinal sin, right? Yeah. You just don't. I mean, and don't,
because it's the integrity of the game.
It's
the integrity
and
of the
your
game.
Own team,
right? It's the integrity of the game. Like, okay, are you throwing this game? So now we're talking about the actual competition, because that affects all the other gambling that goes on.
And you say, well, everybody else is doing it. Yes, that's the rule. I mean, it's the trade-off of making all this money. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. That is a huge rule. And everybody has those rules in their job and whatever they do, whether it's insider trading and not giving out secrets. And like for us and in TV, we're not supposed to put out like political beliefs and tweets and stuff like that. You can vote for whoever you want on your off time. You can campaign, all that stuff, but actually probably can't campaign, but you don't do that. So it's something everybody else can do, or a lot of other people can do, mm-hmm. but you can't do it. It's like that. Every job, there are going to be things. Yeah. Don't do that. It's going to be a cardinal sin, and this is it. And they should know it. And that's drilled into them, right? It is. They know it. He's not, shouldn't have been caught off guard on that whole deal. And I get it. It's easier now with all these states, and it's an app, and it's something right there, and you have all these buddies back home, and it's really easy. It's really easy. Probably say, hey, I ain't playing tonight if you want to, the under on minutes or whatever.
I'm not saying I will or won't, but I'm probably not going to attempt three threes tonight.
Those apps and those casinos know who you are, where you live, and you're the only one that's going to be making this bet.
Well, and
so that's gonna ring a bell.
And for the response that it's like, well, you knew this was going to happen. This is what happens when you legalize gambling. This is going to take place. Well, here's the thing: people were gambling before. He's caught because it's legal now, and the casinos and the sports books, they don't want to get screwed, so they are going to be extra diligent about these things, and it's why that was flagged as this is Jontae Porter. Why is there all these this money coming in on a Jontae Porter under?
It's basically why the Shohei thing happened, because he was using an offshore bookie instead of a regulated gambling app that would have easily said, well, you're employed by the Dodgers, yeah. so you can't be doing
you
this.
Can't be doing that, yeah. right? Why is it also the an app or a book is not going to allow somebody who makes $80,000 a year get $7 million in debt?
Yeah. Precise.
Not gonna, can I get another marker for $100,000? Yeah, you're good for it. You're good. For, I mean, you're into us $2.5 million, but you know what? You're about to get that $10,000 raise from your boss. You've been working your butt off, right? You know, you're picking up extra hours, doing a little overtime. You can get to $90,000 this year. Sure, here's another $100,000 marker. You got this one, though. I feel good about the over on Jontay Porter, too.
Right.
Oh, he only played 4 minutes. What are the odds?
Well, I can tell you the odds. Plus 400.
The public is loving the under on Jontay Porter. I don't know what's going on, but there's way too much action on the under with this one. I'm sorry. The public is stupid. I'm going over on this, and I feel really good about it.
So, I mean, and maybe his career was headed here anyway. Hopefully he can go overseas and play and continue to do something he loves. And look, that
maybe
doesn't
he
make
starts
him,
a tout service it, to where he's like...
It doesn't make him a bad person. It doesn't make him necessarily a dumb person. It doesn't make him anything. I've kind of known that feeling for a long time. I'm sure he feels awful. And so hopefully he can, you know, go over there and... continue to play basketball and make money for it, but apparently not in the NBA anymore. Huh?
It's not like he was, you know, get an interpreter. Like, be smart. Like Dylan said that in the first hour. Right. Like, get an interpreter. You know, get yourself a fall guy.
You grew up in Columbia, Missouri, but get an interpreter for playing in the States. Yeah,
you got to have a fall guy.
Baseball been very, very good to me. No English. Here's my interpreter.
You're from Columbia, Missouri, not Columbia, the country.
You know what? None of your business. I mean, he was running his own accounts with the site, but he also ran his own Discord, which gave out gambling advice. Jontay Porter was running his own Discord that people would go for stock market advice and gambling advice, and that's what he was doing in his spare time was running his Discord.
Okay, so maybe that does make him dumb.
Yeah, that people were, but it's one thing to be like, because it's
wait, you weren't, that wasn't a joke?
No, it's one of the things that he's being accused of.
I thought that was a, yeah,
no, it's
I
one of
too.
The things that he's being accused of is having like a Discord that wasn't about NBA bets, right? But it was about like other gambling and stock markets and things like that.
While you're at it, maybe just stay kind of, don't get close to betting on your own team. Don't say, you know what? It was a bet on the other conference, okay, mm-hmm, and I was hurt, and no, don't do that.
Yeah, but even that, like you can see how into the whole, you know, gambling side of it and playing. Whether it's the action or maybe it's the math of it that he enjoys.
A lot of people,
it's
just the action, right? Yeah. I mean, you look at, I mean, all the money Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson have made, and yet they still look to bet, and it's not really to make money. It's for the action. Well, they like the thrill. They like the ride.
And
man,
there's a lot of people out there that have made pretty good money by having tout services, by, you know, running Discords, by having a paid Discord, by having a subscription base. And, you know, if that's something that he was going to do anyway when he was done, hey, this is what... This is where I can see, like, what's my next career path? Well, this is legal. It just, you know, not smart to do it in the game that you're playing, you know, and upset your current career.
It's like Walter White putting up how to do meth at home on YouTube videos, basically. It's kind of the same idea.
How to do meth on YouTube. Right. Hey, do meth.
Yeah. Here's how you cook meth in a home lab.
Cooking Meth for Dummies. Yes. I wrote the book on it, actually. Here you go. Make it blue. All right, and now people really know which stuff is yours and which isn't, so it's easier to track, and then you get caught. No big deal. It's like being the Wet Bandits on Home Alone. Now they can track you and link you to all those other different homes that you invaded, and now you're really going to jail for a long time, but you get the clout. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, continue rolling. More Zone right after this. All right, hanging out on this Wednesday edition of The Zone, Mick Schaefer is with us. He's presented by Empower Payments. Promising your business savings or they give you $5,000 cash. Visit empowerpayments.com today to learn more. Mick, the end of a dynasty. It feels like
already?
After last night. Yep.
What, Mahomes retired?
Yes, he did, actually. That is unfortunate.
Man.
This April Fool's. Justin Reed's going to retire. He didn't actually retire, everybody.
No,
but the Warriors looks like a dynasty last night after they walked off the court, maybe for the last time. Klay Thompson, unrestricted free agent. They are in a little cap hell.
Draymond's going to jail, I think, right?
Probably, yeah. Yes, yeah, NBA probably, jail. Yeah. He's going to Adam Silver jail, which is just a side office at Adam Silver's massive estate slash office. But
yeah, what's star power last night in the play-in games, right?
With
LeBron and Steph and all those Warriors and Zion.
And then
who, I don't know who plays for the Kings. That
De'Aaron
old guy from
Fox.
Iowa, right?
De'Aaron,
yeah, Murray. Yeah, he had a big
Murray
game.
Was
yeah.
huge last night. De'Aaron Fox is their main guy, but Keegan Murray was awesome last night. But, you know, they won the championship 2 years ago in 22, did the Warriors, and they barely make the playoffs last year, and then they – well, I shouldn't say barely make the playoffs. They lose in the second round last year in 7 and then don't make the playoffs this year for the first time when the big three have been healthy. They missed the playoffs for the first time, and it feels like it's the end of a dynasty where, you know, you see this happen all the time, you know, with teams that just age, and it's – last night we saw the older players not having that same championship form with younger players that they've brought in unable to fill the void left behind by – whether inability of previous players that have moved on, became old themselves, you just don't have that next group to come in and supplement that. And we saw that with this Warriors team. And certainly it's a little different in basketball when those guys were aging together, because Steph is going to be 36 and then Draymond and Klay are going to be 34. So right around the same, as opposed to Mahomes is 28 years old, still in his prime. Kelsey's a couple of years away. Chris Jones is a couple of years away, maybe playing for a different team, whether he's dominant or not. Probably playing for a different team, and then you've got to figure out after that. Because we wondered what would happen after Tyreek Hill, and we know they won 2 Super Bowls, but now it goes into the drafting and making the right decisions, because the Patriots had 2 different dynasties on each side of Brady's career. Start it and end it, and they win 3 Super Bowls each time.
Yeah, I'll take not a 10-year drought there in the Super Bowls, although there were 2 they could have won in that span. And lost the Giants, but no, it's it moves fast, and that's why having the generational quarterback who's hopefully going to be around for 15 years to be your starter, you're going to go. I mean, it's going to be fun. There's just basically, you know, from the time Mahomes got there, there's just him and Kelsey and Jones and James Winchester and what Harrison Butker left.
That's right.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, that's right.
That might be about it.
Those are the guys.
And so it's going to be fun each year moving on to see, okay, who's left? And it's not going to be many.
Well, Derek Nnadi.
Derek Nnadi is still there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, with that 18 draft. But the how long will he play? So we mentioned the A-Rod excerpt that he wrote about Patrick Mahomes in the Time magazine.
Why did Alex Rodriguez get to write that? Is he a writer now?
Mahomes?
Just two other athletes write it?
I
guess he knew,
author.
Right? He knew his dad.
Yeah,
and
Mahomes looked up to A-Rod when...
he's a lot taller when Mahomes...
he looked
baby,
up to
Jason.
Everybody when he's walking around the clubhouse.
This is basic stuff. Have you seen children? Have you seen adults?
He actually, as a six-year-old, looked down at Eddie Goodell.
He did.
So there's that. But as someone who was a role model, he talks about in the Time piece that he was always annoyed at his dad making him do T-work instead of his dad like throwing him, you know, pitches. And then he showed up to the clubhouse and he saw A-Rod practicing off the tee. And that was how he started. And he's like, oh, okay, then I've got to focus on all the small things still to be able to do that. But he talked about in the Time magazine, you know, overall profile of him. And about his family now, and having, you know, Sterling, and having Bronze, and the author writes here, says, family may end up dictating how long Mahomes plays, and shape the verdict on the GOAT debate. Mahomes says, quote, I've looked, if I play until Tom Brady's age, my daughter would be 19 or 20 years old. That would mean missing plenty of youth sporting events and other commitments. I would love to play that long. At the same time, I want to be there for my daughter. If I can do that, I'll continue to play. But if I feel like it's taken away from my family time, that's when I know it'll be time to go. Stop having kids, damn it. Okay, right now, that's it. Enough with the kids, Mahomes, and stop it right now. Family. Kids ruin everything. Now they're ruining dynasties? I mean, come on.
You could hire somebody to go to the games for you, like a doppelganger.
Yeah,
right,
right. Somebody, there's a lot of people out
like
there.
One like, of those world leaders that has a guy that looks just like him.
Yeah. Great game. Great game, boss.
You know, that would be
Dad?
Awesome. Daddy? Is that you? He also said Brady made playing until middle age looked way too easy. Quote, Tom skewed people's brains on how hard it is to do
well,
because
they had different
of
games,
how
right?
well he
Tom
took care
didn't
of his body.
Move. He and said, he got rid of it before anybody got within 5 yards.
He said, so I'm about to make sure that I get rid of this dad bod if I want to play to 45.
He doesn't have a dad bod.
I mean,
I wish I had that.
Yeah, I wish I had that dad bod, too. Yeah, I wish. He said he has a great physique for a quarterback.
Does.
Got a dad bod, but a great
tissue, baby.
It's totally right. It's totally right. But I thought that was it. Like, you see, it kind of goes into what we were talking about with Scheffler yesterday, having a child and or Monday, whenever it was. Yeah, that was Monday. Having a child and priorities start to change. And now he's seeing like, OK, well, they're babies. They're not developing memories. And I, you know, newborn, I can still go and do the film study and everything. But then they start having activities at night. And you're like, well, I mean, yeah, I do need to check this out, but I'll do it later. Right. I can watch a game on DVR later after going to my kid's event. He can't do that with himself. Yeah. Like, he can't go and play the game later. Like, he's got to do some of those things. But kids change some priorities. And when I first was reading that and it said, if I play till Tom Brady's age, my daughter would be 19 or 20 years old. And my thought would be, yeah, she'd be able to know exactly what you do. She'd be watching you. And his point was all the things I would miss along the way by playing football in her life. And by the way, I've made more money than I'm ever going to spend.
Yeah.
And by the time it's really committed. So,
I think football is a little bit different than golf, maybe some other sports, because it is a shorter season, and the actual activity of it, whether it's the games or practice, is far less than golf, right? Mm-hmm. You're traveling somewhere every single week all year round, and all the practice you have to do all day long. So I think that's maybe a little different. You can, I mean, when you have that much money in the world, you can kind of make time, right? And it hasn't been an issue for him at all, right? Yeah. He's won 2 Super Bowls with kids, right? Sterling wasn't born for the first one, was she?
No, Sterling wasn't around for the first one. I don't believe she was around. No, she wasn't around for
what
the first
would you
one. Because she's younger than my daughter.
What
and
would
my,
you settle out of court with? 10 more years right now? Or would
to
you
play
get
at 30? Yeah.
Selfish and go no, 12
I'd,
more.
I'd say if he almost gets to 40 years, playing at 30 till 38, 39 years old, that's... Yeah.
I would sell for 10 more.
Yeah, 10 more. He's played 6.
He's played 6. This is his 8th year he's going into.
Yeah, so he's played 6. He's been around for 7. But if he's played for 6 and you get 10 more, yeah, I mean that's
quick math tells us that's
19 and a half years,
something like that.
Well, I didn't divide by the remainder, did I? 11 years. There, you got it. Nailed it.
I think he's going to be so interested in ownership and maybe being a GM and just staying around sports that, I feel like maybe, you know, the retirement part won't be a tough decision where he's like so many guys that we've seen mulling over for 4 and 5 years and going back and forth.
I wonder if he gets to like 6. Does that then change the perspective of mind of like, you know what
Super
I need?
Super Bowls, you mean?
Yeah. I need to play maybe 1 more year. Yeah. All right, maybe another year. Let me see if I can get this 7th, well, you know?
Jason, that he would only be like 9 years in playing when he gets to 6,
point.
Okay?
That's a great point.
He'll be like 31, okay?
Yeah, so maybe. So what if he gets to 9 and he really wants to get double digits?
Sure,
You know, that would be great. He also said in the time.
Jason Jack. Jack Nicklaus. That's what he's chasing. That major.
Tiger and Jack.
Tiger and Jack. Really, you know, Patrick, that's a different sport. I don't care.
Shut up.
Right?
Shut your mouth. Don't tell him that. You just shush
and they
your
got
mouth.
They got 4 Super Bowls, basically, per year. I just get 1.
Shush your
and
mouth.
And everybody can enter that. You got to earn your way into my Super Bowl.
He told the guy that was doing the interview with him that, you know, now that he's, you know, has a piece of the Royals, has a little bit of a stake in the Royals, he wants to play for the Royals.
I saw that well,
wants
that
to do
spring training.
Spring training, wants to do a little Garth Brooks action.
Except that he would blend in out there, probably. Wouldn't stand out.
I'd say, you know, let him. Yeah, that'd be as long as Andy Reid was like,
You take your softest throwing lefty pitches to him, okay?
That's right.
And it's all fastballs.
Yes. Now, he did say maybe not in a game, but
maybe
just
changes.
Be out there
change
wearing
ups.
The uniform and going through practice. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, go ahead and do that. You know, because you know, even Cliff Kingsbury was like, "You should stop playing baseball."
Yeah,
it's about time to stop playing baseball. Imagine if you actually spent all your time playing football as opposed to splitting your time between baseball and football. Imagine how good you'd be.
I don't know, man.
And now he's we know is Patrick Mahomes. So
how about his rival in high school pitching the other night for the White Sox?
It's unbelievable. That story is so great. Story. It throws a no hitter. Kopech throws a one hitter.
Yeah,
and Mahomes ends up losing or up winning the game with
and
a no hitter.
Kopech goes on to play and he started right in the bullpen.
First round draft
pick. Had
a
major league career and he's an afterthought compared to what Mahomes has done.
I've joked about that too. We were at our fantasy baseball draft. And I was like, man, we imagine if like things were different, if just randomly somebody would be like, Mahomes a buck, Patrick Mahomes the second for a dollar. Yeah, is he going to be the closer this year? He's like a setup man.
He's got middle of the rotation stuff.
I'll throw a dart. I'll go two on him.
Sure.
But who's he with now? You know, just like some random guy in a bullpen somewhere. Like, who's he with now? Is it Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. I'll take.
That's his son, right? It's not the dad still pitching. Okay, it's his son. Okay, it's the second one. Yeah.
Okay, is Shawan Dunston part of this draft too? I'm not sure. Thank you, Mick. Appreciate it as always. Great work. Yeoman's effort today.
Yeoman's. I'm going to look that up, what a yeoman is, one of these days and see
you're
if
like a
I
Sherpa.
Ever put
it's
out
a Sherpa's
that.
Effort.
Is it? It's a Sherpa?
I think it's just
I know what Sherpa is.
Yeah.
Lead Jeff Mount Everest.
Okay. Yeah, it's a really, really
pretty
hard
sure
work.
I've never put in a yeoman's effort, though, on anything.
That's probably right. Empower Payments does, though.
They do.
They boost your business with charity. Every transaction. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. Well, thank you, Mick. I appreciate it as always, brother.
Hey, I'll see you on Friday.
Yes, you will.
I'll see
well, you won't
Sterling
see me. Yeah, you'll
Friday.
See Sterling on Friday. You will not see me. You'll see Jared Goff. No, you won't. You'll see other Goff on Friday.